Phil Henry Show is brought to you by your participating local Nissan dealers.
1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Henry Show.
Mark Cuban is the owner of the Dallas Mavericks basketball team. We had him on our show yesterday. And I told you that when any member of the professional sports establishment steps out of line and once again takes us for granted and treats us as if we're imbeciles, maybe you don't mind being treated like an imbecile, but I mind being treated like an imbecile, that I was going to interview them the way they ought to be interviewed. I was going to hold their feet and maybe even their face to the fire. Yesterday we did that with Mr. Mark Cuban of the Dallas Mavericks. We are going to replay it simply because there are some who did not hear it. And I will tell you, the impetus for this interview were the comments published in USA Today by Mr. Cuban when asked, what do you think the impact will be of this media circus around Kobe Bryant? He responded, well, you don't like to say it, you don't like to admit it, and I'm paraphrasing, but it's going to be good for the business of the NBA. Who won't be watching the Dallas Mavericks and the Lakers? Now, some people who think they're really hip and really get it think that Mark Cuban was stating such a wonderful truth. What Mark Cuban had an opportunity to do was to address the question differently. To address, what do you think about the possibility of a woman being raped around the business of the NBA? What do you think about that, Mr. Cuban? He didn't respond to that because we felt he doesn't have that kind of respect. But we'll let you judge for yourself. This is from yesterday, and this is our interview. This may be the only ever real interview ever conducted of a very brilliant man, brilliant businessman, but a real ego case, owner of the Dallas Mavericks, Mark Cuban. Mark Cuban is the owner of the Dallas Mavericks, and he joins us here on the Phil Henry Show this afternoon. Mark?
What up, Phil?
You there?
I'm here.
Okay, so this isn't your secretary or anything?
No.
All right. Now, Mark, I'm going to read what you said.
Okay.
What you were quoted as saying, from a business perspective, it's great for the NBA. It's reality television. People love train wreck television, and you have to admit, but that's the truth. That's the reality. Mm-hmm. Did you say that?
Yep, but that's not the whole point.
Did you also say, take away the personal aspect, and the reality is that there will be more people watching our game against the Lakers, Cuban told USA Today. What do you know, or who do you know won't watch the Lakers game with Kobe, right?
Right.
All right, now, is the possibility of a woman being raped good for the NBA? Is the possibility of a guy...
Well, let me ask
a guy,
you a question.
I just asked you a question. Is the possibility of a woman having been raped good for the NBA?
Absolutely
then
not.
Why wouldn't a man who owns a professional basketball team, and a brilliant man, a brilliant businessman... What are you? Are you in love with a microphone the way I am? You just saying things to say them?
No, actually, so I prefer intelligent conversation where I.
Well, you certainly didn't say anything intelligent here, did you?
Well, Phil, yes, I did. But see, where you've gone wrong is, what question was I answering?
What question were you answering?
Yes, you have a quote.
I heard. Hey, you have been in front of enough microphones to know that when you give a statement to the media,
I asked you a simple question.
When you
Phil?
Give a, I don't know.
It
must have been a stupid question because you gave a stupid answer. How about
you
that?
I don't know.
It's a stupid answer, isn't it?
Let me make sure I have. Let me ask something,
Mr. Cuban. No, when you're not running out on a basketball court making a jackass out of yourself, you think rape victims are good for the NBA? Is that it?
Of course not.
When you're not running around on the court drawing attention to yourself because of your monumental ego, you think a man cheating on his wife and daughter, that's good for you. Either you don't think that's good for the NBA or you think basketball fans are utter jackasses. Which is it? That I'm going to watch your game because a potential rapist is playing?
Well, Phil, I give you credit for being able to talk on your feet, but if we want to have a nice little conversation about the topic...
You guys always want to have a nice little conversation
with
one of your ball players.
I'll get as down and dirty as you want
until
to,
one of your ball players gets arrested or one of your ball players is out committing rape or something else, okay? You guys want
to
be intelligent, but...
How stupid can you possibly be to run off your mouth and think that you know what I'm talking about, which I don't even know...
You don't even know what you're talking about. Hey, Cuban, you don't even know what you're talking about. You don't even... You're so used to wielding softball questions from these softball sports hosts, you don't even know what you're talking about.
Yeah,
do
you? You don't even know what question I was answering.
All right, why don't you tell me what it was you were talking about? I'd love to hear you get out of this one. What were you talking about? That the fans are stupid or that rape's good for the NBA? Because it's either one or the other.
So do you beat your wife?
Do I beat my wife? Occasionally,
have
yeah.
Have you killed a baby?
Occasionally, yeah.
Have you killed a baby?
Yes, I have.
Okay.
I eat them, too.
400 killed a baby.
There you go. I eat them, too.
USA
and
today.
Ask anybody in America whether they think I'm serious.
Well, no.
Okay, so were you serious when you made this stupid series of comments?
Phil, you can't even begin to guess if it's stupid if you don't know the question. The only thing stupid is you trying to come to a conclusion.
All right, tell me the question. All right, I'm at the shrine of Mark Cuban. What's the question? What was the question you were asked?
No, let's.
What's the matter, man? Is that going to undercut your argument? What was the question you were asked?
No, so I asked you an earlier question. How can you come to a conclusion? Is that the way you are? Do you consider that the basis of an
from
intelligent conversation?
From that series of comments, and you know the NBA distanced itself from you from that series of comments.
Don't you have to let me finish? Are you afraid of me?
Hey, I asked you, I said to you.
Are you afraid of me?
Afraid of you? Afraid of a clown? Afraid of a professional, a man, a brilliant businessman who's turned himself into a clown? Afraid of you? You're a clown, pal. You own a basketball team.
You're entertaining me, but you're certainly asking.
You own a basketball
team.
Well, Mark, I said go ahead and give me the question, but you wanted to bypass that, and now you want to conduct the interview.
Let's do this in two parts, Phil.
You want to conduct the interview.
I will give you the question. I will give you the question, but I want to ask you a question first.
What was the question you were asked?
Can I ask you a question first? Can I? And then I'll give you the question.
Go ahead. You already asked me if I eat babies and if I beat my wife, and I do both. What's the next question?
I want to ask you a question first.
Go ahead.
How can you come to a conclusion thinking you know what I said without even knowing the question I was asked? How can you do that?
There's no way that I can take this comment out of context, that it's reality television, people love train wreck television, and you hate to admit it, but that is the truth, that's the reality today. You admit you made that comment.
Yes, what do you think I was referring to?
Well, I've already asked you, and you won't tell me.
Okay, the question I was asked, and then we'll get back to how you think you can come to a conclusion without knowing the question. The question I was asked, the discussion was about the media circus surrounding Kobe. It wasn't specifically about the rape trial. It was, with all the media attention, you want to write this down, Phil, so you can look it back up?
Hey, man, I don't need to write it down. You know what I'm talking about, and you know what you were referring to. You go and shuck and jive somebody else, my friend. You know you were talking about a potential rape trial. See, guys like you, you know, cats like you, too, but you know something, man? Why don't you go back to the computer business? Because you know something? I'm not one of these in sports radio that thinks it's the greatest thing in the world to talk to some jackass who gets on television and gets on radio and makes a joke out of a damn possible rape trial and a guy cheating on his wife and on his daughter. Guys like you incense me and sicken me. Sit your ass down in your seat. Don't make yourself the damn story, and don't make the possibility of a woman being raped some kind of a cool thing for the NBA. You're not an idiot. You know exactly what you were talking about. You're treating my listeners and the NBA fans as if they're stupid.
Yes, you're clueless.
You are treating my listeners and the NBA fans as if they're stupid.
Phil,
okay, so don't give me the Phil. Don't talk down to me, and don't condescend to me. Now, you said...
Phil, do you realize how easy you are to be condescending to? Because you haven't taken a deep breath yet.
Mark, I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to tell you something, Mark. I don't sit down and worship at the altar of the NBA owner. I want a straight answer out of you. I want a straight answer out of you, and I'm not getting a straight answer out of you.
Something.
And I'm not going to give you the polite Roy Firestone style interview and play some piano music behind you.
It's just an interview.
I asked you a question 5 minutes ago, and you're not giving me the answer. You started with three different questions for me. You gave me three questions for me for the one that I asked you.
Do you want me to take both sides of the conversation and we can play one of your little skits?
You know something, Mark? Yeah, you know something, Mark? Well, I tell you what, we'll do that, and then we can watch you running around in a basketball court like a freaking Harlem Globetrotter clown. You want to do that, too? You want to run out there and put your chest into a referee's, make yourself the story? I asked you a question about a comment that you said you made, that you admitted that you made.
I stood right up and said, and then as I started to tell you the question, you interrupted me.
No, you didn't. You asked me if I knew what the question was.
Right, and you didn't.
And I said that. I said, okay, what was the question? Then you proceeded with three other questions. So you want to sit here and circle this, and do you want to answer flat out? Give me an answer. Now, you say you were responding to a question about what, reality television or the media circus around Kobe?
No, the discussion that was ongoing was, when you have a scenario where you have more than 100 media outlets covering an event, the sensational, you know, tabloid event du jour, and you're getting multiple coverage on a daily basis from more than 100 TV and media and press outlets, will that have an impact on the business that you're in, Mark? And I said, you know what? Yeah, it will have an impact on the business. Given the way we consume media, given that we live in a reality TV world where people love train wreck television, it'll probably be great for the NBA.
You know something?
That's the question
I was answering. You know what? If you call it train wreck television, and you say it's a media circus around a trial, you know exactly what that trial's about, and you know exactly what you mean by train wreck. So what the hell are you talking about,
man?
Open,
honest conversation about sensitive subjects.
Listen, Mark, you know what? I'm tired of open, honest conversations with you guys promoting your sport at the behest of everything and anything. You guys will use rape. You'll use murder. It doesn't matter to you whether you can. Whatever promotes the game, huh? Hey, listen, I'm just trying to keep you. I'm trying to keep you from making the same mistake the L.A. Lakers and a lot of other teams are making. Because, God forbid, a member of your team rapes a woman, and you're standing out there talking about the season instead of the outrage that that man might have committed against a woman. Because you're in danger of doing that, Mark. You're in danger of making the game bigger than the world we live in here.
Phil.
Hey, look, you know what? If you're going to give me another, if you're going to ask me another question or something... You want to ask me a question?
I'm going to ask you. Can you take a deep breath? If you want
to. No, I don't. I got a radio show to fill up. All right, and I got to keep this entertaining because so far your end of it is pretty sedate. Is there anything else you had to say? So, in other words, Phil Henry got it wrong. You're asking about the media circus. Bull crap.
Okay, so you're telling me what I was thinking. So,
okay, no, I probably could. If you give me about 10 minutes, I probably could.
You're right. So you're clairvoyant now.
Yeah. With you, guys like you, sure.
Guys like you.
You guys buy a basketball team because it's a big part of advertising your business. The next thing you know, it's all about you. It's all about the game. And any kind of outrage committed by a player, any kind of breach of morality, the basketball game is bigger.
The ratings on KFI so bad.
Yes, they're
resort to screaming,
they're just about
and yelling and being opportunistic.
Exactly.
Like
my ratings are in the toilet, man.
You have to be so opportunistic.
You know what? I can't get any lower than number one, so they must be in the toilet.
You know what? You have to resort to being so opportunistic that, you know what? I enjoyed your show.
Did I email you today and did I say that we would not be kind and you said, give me your best shot, okay?
Yeah, I'm not ambushing you. And screaming.
I'm not ambushing you.
I'm not saying you did. All I'm saying
is you haven't done
anything legitimate.
Did David Stern get it wrong?
Did
David Stern get it wrong?
David Stern just made his comment.
Did he get it wrong?
Regarding what?
Regarding what you said. He said he distances himself from your comments. The league distances itself from your comments. Is he wrong?
Fine. I don't have a problem with that. He does that all the time.
Oh, but he got it wrong, right?
I don't care.
Did he get it wrong?
He was doing what the league had to do.
Wait a minute, man. You're telling me. Wait a second. Are you backing down off of David Stern now? You hired the guy. Come on. Did he get it wrong or didn't he?
Big time, Phil. Yeah, get your facts right. He was there when I got there.
Whatever. You're the guy that employs him. Did he get it wrong?
He did what he had to do, so he got it right.
But Phil Henry got it wrong.
Phil Henry hasn't said a word.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is it. This is the doublespeak coming from the Sports Ministry of Propaganda. David Stern got it right. But David Stern got it right. In other words, so I can let you tell me how it is? Is that what you can do, Mark? You're going to tell me how it is?
You know what, Phil? One of the great things about give and take in a conversation is maybe you learn something. I wanted to come on the show because you know what? I thought Phil's entertaining.
Well, you know what? You made a big fat mistake.
Let me finish. I said, Phil's entertaining. He's an intelligent guy. I love the way, you know, when he takes on a controversial position, he takes on both sides to try to get a rise out of somebody.
I thought,
you know what, that is really good.
You and I,
you know what, let's get into a conversation with Phil because, you know what, I'm the first, if I'm wrong on something, I'd love to admit
I'm
wrong.
You just showed your colors. I said, is David Stern wrong? No, but Phil Henry is wrong because you can't take on the commissioner of the NBA when I'm just a talk show host, huh? I mean, come on, is there anybody listening that didn't hear that? Is there anybody out there that didn't hear Mark Cuban not wanting to say that David Stern is wrong, but Phil Henry is? You want to know why? Because you're beholden to David Stern and not Phil Henry. Because I'm just some schlub on the radio, right?
Yep, that's you, Phil.
That's it, yeah. That idea does not reflect the views of the NBA, NBA owners generally, or others associated with our sport, David Stern said. And you can't tell me whether he's right. You say he's absolutely right.
Yeah, I think he did the right thing for the NBA. Why would he want to walk into that maelstrom? Why would he want to walk into this circus?
What circus was he walking into? You were making You were making a normal comment about the media circus.
Right.
And yet David Stern wants nothing to do.
David Stern wants
nothing to do with your comments, even though you were making sensible comments.
That wouldn't be the first time. That wouldn't be the first time. And probably won't be the last time, Phil. Phil, I'm disappointed.
Hey, Mark. I'm not disappointed because I don't even know who the hell you are, okay?
That's the damn truth.
But I will tell you this much. I will tell you that you do not disappoint me as a member of the ownership council of the NBA and the grand hierarchy there because you guys are all the same. Anything that's good for the game, including mayhem, is fine with you guys.
Wait,
and I'm going to tell you something, Mark, and I say this with all clarity.
Can I ask you a question?
the sports fans and the basketball fans are getting tired of it.
Phil, I'm trying to learn here. Help me, please.
I got to go. I'm not turning this into a half hour. So I'll give you the final word here to show I'm a fair guy, and then I got to take a break.
I am so disappointed, Phil.
I heard that already. Got anything new to say?
There's a chance for nice, intelligent conversation. There's a chance for give and take, and all you could do is yell.
Hey, you got a give and take here with USA Today, man, and they misquoted you, apparently. And
no, I didn't say they misquoted me. I just said I was answering the question that they didn't know what I was answering.
Well, you had a nice give and take with them, and David Stern's distancing himself from you.
Yeah, but Phil, you said we were part of the same council, that the NBA council, where you just said...
Well, you guys, the pantheon of ownership... Yeah, you guys are all part of the same propaganda ministry, and Stern does what he does because it makes him look squeaky clean. And you're the Bull Brummel owner that runs around on the floor.
Are you saying David's stupid because he's distancing?
Yeah,
David
Stern is magnificently skillful, but yeah, he's corrupt, just like the rest of you guys. corrupt. You heard me right.
I'm going to give us both the benefit of the doubt.
See you later, babe. I got to get out of here. Any suggestion that there will be some economic or promotional benefit to the NBA arising from the charge pending against Kobe Bryant is both misinformed and unseemly, Stern's statement said. All right, we'll be back. 1-800-449. That was from yesterday, recorded from our interview yesterday with Mark Cuban. It's the Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
And now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
In this month's FHM magazine, Simeon Rice, one of our favorite guys in the world, is interviewed by FHM. Simeon Rice is a Tampa Bay defensive lineman. Defensive lineman of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They won a Super Bowl. So, as you know, if you win a Super Bowl, well, you are just, you're to be interviewed by everybody because you know everything about everything. Now, Simeon Rice was quoted on an interview show as saying that Pat Tillman of the Arizona Cardinals, who actually went to Iraq to fight for his country, quit football and went over to Iraq to fight for his country. Simeon Rice said, well, Tillman ain't much of a football player, and the Arizona Cardinals are not a professional football team. In other words, he disrespected the guy in a manner, I'm sure, that back in the hood... he'd be very upset if someone were to do that to him. Simeon Rice is a very stupid man. He may think he's smart. He may consider himself to be very skillful. But in point of fact, when I read the things he says, he sounds like a novice. He sounds like a Ringling Brothers clown. In other words, he sounds like a guy fresh off the block who hasn't really seen the big world. And I don't care how bad it got back in the hood. You get out of the neighborhood and you come out here into the big, bright, beautiful world, friend, and they'll skin you up one side and down the next. And because you've had your rear end powdered and waxed since you were 14 years of age, ain't helping much. Simeon Rice was asked this question in the interview in FHM magazine. What would you think of having a woman on your team? Because I guess the interviewer thought that was really an original question. So Rice responded with a typically stupid comment that one can expect from many members of the Tampa Bay Buccaneer defensive unit. Because these guys are real idiots. Starting with Rice and then heading on down the alphabet to Sapp. What would you think of having a woman on your team? And Rice responded, is she hot? Because if she was, then she'd be getting herself pregnant by halftime. Well, spoken just like some guy running through the cornrows there. She'd be getting herself pregnant by halftime. Would you ask her permission, Simeon? Oh, I'm sorry. You're a professional athlete. You don't have to. It's a Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
The movie The Passion, which is a movie that has gained a lot of attention based upon the assumption, because few people have seen it, based upon the assumption that it's anti-Semitic. And I even said, because I'm not a big Mel Gibson fan as a filmmaker, I don't like his movies, because I think they're dull and they're overdone, a little heavy-handed. You know, the whole thing with the blue face. Get out of here, okay? What is this, Spartacus cut? Spartacus part 900? But this movie, I was wrong about, I think. I talked with, I didn't talk with, but I heard Matt Drudge's comments about it. He saw it. He said it's a great film. It's worthy of our viewing at least once to make up our own minds, which, is, of course, is the way it should be. But how few of us do that, how we just immediately assume that if the Pope said or the Bishop said or Phil Hendry said, then it's got to be a pile, and we don't ever make up our own minds. Now, the movie's really interesting to me. I do want to see it from one standpoint. There is an opinion that the film is very authentic. It is, the dialogue is supposedly in Aramaic and Latin, and they were not going to have any subtitles. So you would be watching, you would really be a witness to history if you and I had been planted on the ground 2,000 years ago without any knowledge of the language. We would be watching these events play out, hearing it done in the language that it was that was used in those days to communicate with. And I find that kind of thing really interesting, and because I'm such a fan of history, it would be wonderful to be able to sort of sit in on a historic moment like that. Well, I think Gibson has relented, and I think he's put in some subtitles. Now, the actor that he got to play Jesus Christ, I don't know how to pronounce this guy's name. C-A-V-I-E-Z-E-L, Caviezel or Caviezel. You figure it's Caviezel? This guy is a Roman, he's a very devout Roman Catholic. Now, don't you think, if you're getting some criticism from the Jewish media and from Jewish religious leaders that the film is anti-Semitic or may be interpreted as anti-Semitic because the Jews are portrayed, and rightfully so, in this particular film as those who wished, along with the Romans, the death of this man, Jesus of Nazareth. And they did. He had a problem, this man, Jesus of Nazareth, who we are led to believe existed. I have no way of knowing if he ever did. We know that at the particular time that this man was said to have existed, the individuals, historically, individuals such as the Caesar of Rome, King Herod, and others, we know were around during that time. I think Herod might have died a few years before Jesus Christ himself was crucified. In any event, this actor is not a Jewish actor, is the point I'm trying to make. Why not? Well, Phil, he just got the most qualified guy. Oh, yeah, I see. He got the most qualified guy, yeah. And he happened to be a devout, conservative Roman Catholic. Just the most qualified guy. You know, let me tell you something, sports fans. You know, people say, hey, you know, if it wasn't for affirmative action, we'd still be hiring the best qualified person. Did we ever really hire the best qualified person in the history of man on this planet? Was it ever really the case, ever the case, that we hired the most qualified person? Ever? We hire people because we like their smile, because they went to the same school, because they seem to be really good, when in point of fact, perhaps our vision and our view is colored by a certain prejudice we might have. Maybe they come from the same town we come from. Maybe they're the same color of skin. There's nothing wrong with a guy wanting to be comfortable with his coworker based upon common racial background. And here we have this actor who's been hired to play Jesus Christ. The guy's a Catholic. Hey, Gibson, here's a little bit of a clue. Here's a little bit of a tip. Hire a Jewish actor to play Jesus, because Jesus, they tell me, was Jewish. Okay? There. That will cool out all the stuff about it being an anti-Semitic film. But I guess that didn't occur to you, huh? In any event, far be it for me to criticize. I'm not a filmmaker by trade. All I am is just one of those dumb popcorn eaters out there that makes you rich, all right? So, seriously. So I'm not gonna, you know, I won't tell you nothing. However, here's a brilliant bit of casting. Seriously, the person who plays Satan in this film, Now, Satan, when did Jesus of Nazareth meet Satan in the last 12 hours of his life? I know he met Satan in the desert, but this film is supposed to depict the last 12 hours of his life. So I'm sure there's some flashback scenes. He flashes back to the desert when Satan... The person who plays Satan is an actress, is a female named Rosalinda Celentano. And there may be, and I haven't heard anything about this, and rightfully so. Not that I would expect to hear anything about a woman being cast as Satan. And I'll tell you why, because to a man who is in hell, who is feeling torn, probably the single most tempting and possibly most unsettling presence would be a very beautiful or very alluring or very sexy woman. Jesus being a man, a female being Satan, that makes a whole lot of sense. Were the guy a real guy? I love how we're just sort of assuming this guy existed. It's great, isn't it? Isn't it wonderful that one guy, without any real historical proof, we just assume lived? Everybody else, we got to have 19,000 photographs, 6,800 fingerprints. We got to have archaeological evidence, anthropological evidence. We've got to get back and look at the geologic record. We got to go back and interview Julius Caesar, make sure that he said what he said. Did he write anything? Did he crap anywhere? Can we look into the stool? Did he eat corn? But when it comes to this guy Jesus, oh yeah, he existed. Well, can you show me some? Well, it says in this book. Fine, I've got a book here of old Irish Gaelic tales that tells me that a talking dragon existed, too. I mean, do you want me to, well, that's ridiculous, of course he didn't. But a cat that raised the dead did? Well, yeah. Well, how do I know? What are you, don't believe in God? What's it got to do with anything? I just ask you, how do I know that the guy is it? Well, he did. They found the box that James lived in. James who? His brother. His brother. How do you know? Because it said this is where James was buried. Oh, in English, okay. What is it with you guys, man? I'm asking a simple question. How do you know this guy Jesus existed? You know something? It's guys like you, Henry. It's guys like you that make this country rotten. You're ripping religion out of our everyday life. I didn't do anything. I'm asking if you know how the guy existed is all I said. Get out of here, you heathen. Boy, look at Paris, 100 degrees. 100 people dead in Paris. That sucks. I want to tell you something. I bet it has something to do with the substandard air conditioning they got over there. I ain't kidding you either. Anyway, getting back, I had to say something because I saw some guy sticking his head under a faucet. That I said, boy, not only is it hot in Paris, it still smells pretty bad, too. In any event, this flick that's coming out called The Passion is going to elicit all kinds of comment. And the reason for this has to do with the anti-Semitic bent that some people think that it has taken. I'm just saying to Gibson, do yourself a big fat favor and recast Jesus. Oh, you can't do it? You mean you already shot the movie? Sorry. Well, you should have hired a Jew to play Jesus, because that's what he was. Well, how do you know Satan was a woman? I don't know, but I can make a pretty good guess. And the actress they got to play her? Take a look at her pictures here at imdb.com. She's got the shaved bald head, because I guess Satan was bald. And she's got a beautiful yet really scary face. And she's got huge, enormous ears. No, she's big. Why don't you just go back and CGI Mel Brooks' face onto Jesus and everybody will be happy? What's wrong with that? Oh, what are you, trying to make a joke out of Jesus? What do you mean I'm making a joke out of Jesus? Was he Jewish? Yeah. Well, then why don't you make him look Jewish? Oh, how do Jews look, Phil? Mel Brooks? Well, what's that supposed to mean? It's nothing. Carl Reiner. All right, if you want, Kirk Douglas. Michael Douglas. I suppose you can suggest Woody Allen, too. Well, without the glasses, yeah. Well, you know, that's really, I can see what you're doing, Henry. You're making a big joke. I'm not making a joke out of anything. If you want the historic record to be accurate, make the historic record accurate. Don't start laying out to me that you got an actor play. You know, this blonde-eyed, blue-haired, or blue-haired and blonde-eyed, or blonde-haired and blue-eyed, or whatever the hell you want to call him, Jesus. Everybody knows by now, every child, every kindergartner, anybody that ever got out of toilet training knows that Jesus wasn't blue-eyed and blonde-haired. He was a Semitic man, which is to say he was Arab. You know, Arabs are Semitic. Not just Jewish folks, but Arabs as well. If you are anti-Semitic, you are strictly speaking against peoples of that region. Not just Jewish folk, but it came to mean Jewish folk. Look, if you think Jesus had blue eyes and blonde hair, why don't you get Max von Sydow to play him, okay? That cat's got the white hair, and not only that, he's got the crowd accent, too, to go right along with the whole idea. Yaver, you know, the Romans. Anybody in Hollywood could play him except the guy you cast, Gibson. A Roman Catholic. Which is exactly why he cast him, because everybody who's a Catholic thinks Jesus was the first Catholic. I learned that as a kid. The very first Catholic was Jesus Christ. And then he made Peter the first pope. And every pope is related to Peter. And every Catholic in some way is related to Jesus because he was a Catholic. Gibson believes that. He's old school. Gibson wants to stand there and go to Mass and look at the back of the priest all day while he's saying Latin. Boy, that was exciting. Thanks a lot for that. You know what, Gibson? Remind me not to go to Mass with you anytime soon, okay? I'm going to sit there and listen to Latin and look at the ass end of the priest. There's too many altar boys that have had to do that. Hey, you know, William Shatner was Jewish. How about him? Wouldn't you love to see him nailed to a cross? And I got to go into Mass, and I got to look at the old Mass with the, you know, Dominus Vobiscum, et cum spiritu tuo, mea culpa, mea maxima culpa. The Confiteor. You know. In nomine Patri, Domine, Spiritu Sancte, Amen. I think you got to go back and recast the only guy that could play Jesus, who is Jewish, and is a terrific actor, some people think, Adam Sandler. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686.
Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Time for the Phil Henry Show mailbag today. And these are emails that have come to our show. Remember, our email address is phs@philhenryshow.com. Mr. Henry, I must say I frequently disagree with your politics, though I think your show is brilliant. When you first trashed Mark Cuban, I thought you were way off base in misquoting him. Typical Phil Henry hothead stuff. But when you had the guy on the air, you managed to convince me. These guys are rats. The fact that he was laughing about the whole situation made even my cynical mind reel from the implications. I wouldn't doubt if some of these owners are secretly, or not so secretly, applauding the news of a superstar like Kobe accused of such a terrible crime. Cash is all that matters, I guess. Me and my boyfriend were huge basketball fans, but I don't know. We never bought into the whole sports image garbage in the first place, but we always figured it was a business that was no more or less contemptuous of its consumers than any other business. This is not the case, however, obviously. Having employees accused of crimes is one thing. Intentionally exploiting the situation is another. Anyway, keep up the good work. You're a real hit here in the fag, wop, geek demographic, Andy. Phil, oh my God. I'm a backstage pass listener who catches your show the following day at work. I just heard and will hear again the interview with Mark Cuban. Holy crap, did you tear him a new one and talk about letting the GD word fly. Love the show. I got turned onto it by accident driving home from Austin to San Antonio after a concert, and I was so shocked at the thought that what was coming out of your mouth was real, I almost had to pull off the road. Keep it up. Love you. Lisa. It confirms everything you're saying about these guys that it never occurred to Cuban to answer the initial media question in a different way. How about something like rape, mayhem, and murder are never good for sports, period. His need to be, quote, quotable, end quote, comes off as pitiful, and his attempted defense was laughable. Your crusade to get these guys to join the human race is long overdue. Thanks. Mick. All right, that is our mailbag for today. And again, our email address is, what is our mail? It's phs@philhendryshow.com. phs@philhendryshow.com. Now, we also have one more bit of business to take care of, and that is our R.C. Collins file. And I'm going to bring R.C. Collins on the line right now. Tell me again, R.C., what exactly is this R.C. Collins contest about?
Well, it was something that I was thinking about one day, and I was thinking about it. If Kobe Bryant could just convince this girl that she remembers it all wrong, maybe he could get off. So I said maybe if he paid her enough, she'd remember it properly.
Okay. So you're asking, do you think Kobe should...
No, hold on, I'll do it. Jesus. My question is...
Wait a second, don't be rude.
Well, what, do you want to butcher it? I mean, I'm trying to...
I'm saying it.
No, I'll say it if you don't mind, because you're butchering it up.
Okay, but don't give me this, wait a minute, I'll do it, and then throw in the Jesus word.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
Just saying, if you write me an email at rccollins@philhendryshow.com and tell me, do you think Kobe Bryant should pay her, or maybe you don't, to make her remember it better, the best letter will win a Phil Hendry ball cap. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
Fag.
No, no. Wait a second!
What?
I don't want that either. Just read the letter and then lay off the personal comments.
What an asshole.
Okay, see, that's what I'm talking about, man. I'm going to hang up on you unless you...
Okay, I'm sorry. Can I read it?
Go ahead.
Well, how about some music?
Will you read the letter?
All right, I just... Dear R.C., you goon, what makes you think Kobe's wallet is the answer? Pay her for what? If Kobe's innocent, she deserves nothing. If he's guilty, he should go to Pelican Bay and learn the secret handshake. Besides, if he's found guilty of rape in a criminal...
Do you mind?
I'm sorry. I had Big Slice pizza.
Like I care where you ate lunch.
Can I go?
Go ahead.
Besides, if he's found guilty of rape in a criminal trial, a civil trial won't be far behind. And that $4 million Rocky bought for Vanessa will become just a down payment on the jury award in that trial. Either way, she don't need no money transplant or hush money neither. I knew a kid like you in a Girl Scouts camp. Need I say more? You should shave your ass. The gunner's daughter can't be far behind. Monica Crump, Annandale, Virginia.
Well, that's a great letter.
That's today's winner.
All right, so we'll put Monica's in, and in with the one we got yesterday, and on Friday we'll announce the winner of the Phil Hendry Show Flexit Cap.
Right, and by the way, Phil, great show as always, you chump.
We'll be right back. Oh, coming up, Vernon Dozier, youth league baseball coach who has a problem with single mothers sticking their noses into the business of coaching, and Steve Bozell, a pending lawsuit. It may be the first case of sexual harassment filed against a kid.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. Now, Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
The intense heat across the country has caused deaths in youth baseball leagues, in youth football leagues. Just like in the pros, we've had kids dropping from this heat. Here in California, we recently had a kid die from the heat in a youth baseball league out in Randall Park, in the Randall Park section of La Brenda Park. La Brenda Park, California, and I'd like to bring on Vernon Dozier. He was the coach, and talked to him about the trauma of having a kid dying from heat exhaustion while playing on your baseball team. And Mr. Dozier, thank you very much for joining us. I know that you teach high school and high school football as well.
That is correct, Phil. I am a varsity football coach at Del Mar Academy in South Pasadena, California.
And you're also involved in a youth baseball league?
Yes, sir, that is correct. We have a youth league of 20 teams here in the Randall Ranch area. We've got another 20 teams over in the La Brenda Park area itself.
And this child that died, was there anything that you could have done? Was it hot? Were you working the kids?
Well, you need to back up because you're taking a tack that is very predictable. What kills children every year really has to do more with what's going on at home than here in the here on a baseball diamond. What kills kids every year in football camps has really very little to do with the practice. It's what's happening at home. The boy who died on our baseball team at our baseball camp was dead. What we call he was dead on arrival. He was DOA. His mother delivered him to us dead. He was already going to die the day his mother, a single mother, I might add, which I think is significant, the day she dropped him off, because the kid had been sitting around playing video games, watching TV, and then, of course, something else happens that your producer told me I'd be able to mention.
What is that?
Well, it's the tendency of parents to get involved in the coaching of the team, so they bring a child to us that they've already made soft. And then they want to stick their nose, I guess, if you want to call it that, into what we're doing. And I told this one mother, and she happened to be the mother of the kid who eventually died, to, you know, please, I asked her very politely, please shut up and go over to the grandstand and just shut up and sit down.
What happened to her son?
He had a heart attack. His heart just stopped.
Did he have anything congenitally wrong with his heart?
No, what he had, Phil, was that mother. See, these parents are what is wrong, not the weather, not anything congenitally wrong with a boy. It's the parents.
Well, what was the temperature the day that you guys, the day that that boy died, what was the temperature out on the baseball field?
To my understanding, it was the temperature that day.
Yeah, the day that this child died, what was the temperature?
My understanding, it was at 104. Now we are in the
104.
Yes, sir. Well, we are in the La Brenna Valley Park area of Los Angeles, where it gets very, very hot. So this is nothing new. The kids who grow up here are used to it. That is not unusual. In other words,
well, 104 degrees. What time of the day did this kid die?
The doctor, the coroner said there was cardiac arrest at around 1:30.
Isn't the hottest part of the day between 11 and 2, isn't it?
But what you're doing here is you're kind of going down the road like it's my fault. Let me explain something.
Well, all I'm saying is if it's hot, and if the, were the kids hydrated?
No. Let me explain to you, Mr. Henry, and I can save you a lot of questions. The parents, I can't keep hammering this in enough. They bring these kids who are soft. They bring these kids who want to have mommy there to give them bottles of water. They let them play video games. They're soft. And the mother who brought this kid, okay, was a single woman, no man in the house. She's at work. The boy's got, you know, staying with neighbors, staying with relatives, and this woman with no man in the family lets the kid play video games and watch television, so the boy has to stay with a babysitter. And I could have made something out of this kid, and instead she delivers to me a carcass. And I what I mean by that is the kid was might as well have been dead when she rolled up in the car that day.
I understand you're still feeling the effects of this.
Yes, sir, I am.
Because I can understand how devastating it would be to have a child die who is under your care in what should otherwise be a happy sports program.
Well, that's exactly right, Phil. And I said to her, I said, you might as well have driven up and just kicked a dead body out of the car and driven on. Because that's exactly what you did to me. And that's what these parents are doing to us. They're killing their kids and then blaming us for it.
All right, Vernon Dozier is with us. He is a youth baseball coach. And your youth league goes all summer, sir?
Yes, sir. We finish at the end of August, so we've got a couple more weeks.
All right. In the La Brenta Park area of California, where a 10-year-old boy died from heat, from a cardiac arrest, it was 1:30 in the afternoon. Mr. Dozier's team was doing some workouts, and I'll ask you exactly what those workouts were. And you feel that the responsibility lies entirely with the mother and entirely with parents who make their kids soft and then deliver them to the baseball diamond soft.
That is absolutely correct.
All right, Mr. Dozier, hold on. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. It's a tough question to ask a lot of parents. Do you think you're responsible for the deaths of your kids when they go out to these football camps, they go out to these baseball camps, and they wind up dying from heat exhaustion. And in the case of this boy, he died from a cardiac arrest. Is that correct?
Yeah, he died from a cardiac arrest at 1:34 in the afternoon on August 6th. So that was just a few days ago. And we got right back into practice. I mean, the coroner arrived at 3, and we were able to get back into practice by 4 o'clock.
You continued practicing?
Yes, sir. Because we have a tournament that's coming up in about a week. You're gonna have to suck it up a little bit. You're gonna lose kids. You're going to see people die. I can tell you that I served with the United States Army in the 8th Army or Cav in Vietnam, and I saw a lot of people die. So. It's really not that much of a shock to see some kid drop, but I tell you, when it's a child, you do get a little emotionally involved in it, Phil.
All right, now, what were you doing when this boy died?
Again, it's an irrelevant question. It's not what we were doing. It's what the mother did to this kid. She killed him. Because when he's out there with us, all he can think about is mommy. And I don't mean to be sarcastic.
Well, it sounds like you're a little sarcastic.
Well, I have to be, Phil, because these kids come here and they want to have, whatever their mothers get, the chocolate milk and all of this nonsense that their mothers make for them. And a cold, wet cloth. One of the kids said to me, my mother always gives me a cold, wet cloth for the back of my neck. And I had to hold myself back from hitting this kid. That's how incensed I was. But I can tell you that...
I'm not blaming you. I'm not going to blame you. I just want to know what you guys were doing when this boy collapsed.
You mean in our...
In your camp?
Yes, sir. We had done some wind sprints. It's about 1:30. We had been doing wind sprints for about an hour. Because I wanted to get the times down in the 40. We also do what we call interval weight training. We have a... 20-team youth league that shares a weight room.
And these are 10 to 12-year-old boys, right?
Yes, sir, that is correct.
You're not affiliated with the Little League?
No, we are not Little League. We are a youth league here at La Brenna Park.
All right, so you were doing wind sprints for about an hour, and you were doing interval weight training. And anything else?
Yeah, well, we've been doing interval weight training. We've been doing jumping jacks, a lot of calisthenics. And then we were doing what we call our grandstand runs, which is going up and down the...
And it's 104 degrees, so that is incredibly hot weather to be doing grandstand runs, to be doing wind sprints for an hour. I mean...
Again, you are making the mistake. Okay, see, here's what you're doing. See, you're putting it on me. Isn't that what you're doing?
Well, I'm just asking you...
See, one kid admitted to me... Okay, that his mother would massage his feet when he got home from practice. And I said to him, are you telling me your mommy massages your feet? This is exactly what we are trying to avoid in our youth camp, youth baseball program, and our affiliate Youth of America football program. This massaging of feet. It's cold, wet cloth in the neck.
You told my producer you were angry.
You are. You're right about that, sir.
Because you feel you're being blamed for what the parents are doing to their kids. You say the parents are killing their kids with softness even before they get there.
As I said, and I can't repeat this enough, they might as well pull up and kick a dead body out of the car and say, I'll be back to pick up the dead body in 3 hours.
All right, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. Parents are killing their kids, not coaches, when it comes to hot weather because they're making their kids soft. Gary, go ahead, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
I'm just amazed at what I've heard so far. I think it is it's sickening to hear somebody put a blame solely on a parent.
Why can't we do something different and start blaming people where the blame belongs instead of blaming the coaches? The parents are the ones that are doing this.
How does it have anything to do whether this lady was married or not married or whether she was single mom or whether she had somebody babysit this child? It had nothing to do with his death. He died of a heart attack.
That's a good question.
Well, I don't think it's a good question.
I think it's a good question. What does her marital status have to do with it?
I'll tell you what her marital status has to do with it. Anybody, a blind man, could see it. There's no man in that boy's life. And so, therefore, there is no real good, strong instruction as to a discipline when it comes to sports. And instead, he's got a mama that feeds him chocolate milk. And for all I know, she's still breastfeeding him.
And you're talking about a boy who died here, sir. All right.
I understand it, that a boy died, but you're talking to and putting blame on a parent. That a blame should be put on the coaching and the baseball system, not on the parents.
How do you figure it's my fault?
I defended this country in the military, and when I went to San Antonio to train, when it got hot enough, they put a flag up, and we didn't go outside and train.
Yeah.
If it's 150 degrees, you don't put a kid out there doing wind sprints for an hour.
And can I point something out to you? We lost the Vietnam War, so you're proving my point.
I was in 1980.
You just proved my point.
I proved a point that you should be in jail, sir.
Sir,
you should be in jail for negligent homicide.
Look, you go out and lose a war. That's your business. But I'm trying to help the kid.
Now, wait a minute. This man said he went into the military in 1980. So let's get the facts clear here.
Well, he is. I'm out to win championships, friend. Okay? You want to go over and run the first time you see a Chinese or whatever you're, you know.
You know, Mr. Dozier, again, don't intimate cowardice or anything personal about this man. Answer the questions.
I'm out to win championships.
By killing kids?
Killing people. You're out to win championships. You don't care whether you kill a child.
I don't kill kids. Their parents do. They show up with them already dead because they got them sitting on their fat you-know-whats watching the, and I found out these boys were watching that Even Stevens and that Hillary Duff nonsense, and I hit the roof.
Well, sir, you should be in jail.
Well, sir, I'm not in jail. Who ought to be in jail is the mother who
killed her own
boy. If
you were in any other state besides California, you probably would be in jail.
Mothers are killing their sons.
All right. Thank you, Gary, for your call. 1-800-449-8686. What's the problem you got with Even Stevens and Hillary Duff?
I've got 10 to 12-year-old boys who are sitting at home playing, Discipline the Monkey to Hillary Duff movies. And
all right, hold on for a minute. 1-800-449-8686. We're talking with Vernon Dozier, a baseball coach who had a child collapse, a 10-year-old boy collapse with a heart attack after doing wind sprints in 104-degree heat. And he says the fault lies entirely with the boy's mother who didn't toughen the kid up. We'll be back. It's The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Rather be playing Grand Theft Auto. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
For you to say that, though, I think is an indication.
No, what I said was the boy reminded me of myself when I was a child, okay? And I was not about to let him beat me again. And
so we're back with Vernon Dozier. He's a youth baseball coach. A kid died of a cardiac arrest in 104-degree heat during one of your baseball camps.
And again, you don't mention that the mother is the one that killed him. You keep bringing it up about me.
You said to me off the air that boy was overweight and reminded you of yourself when you were that age.
That is absolutely correct. I don't think there's anything wrong with that, sir.
Well, the thing that caught my ear is you said, I'm not going to let him beat me again. Meaning what?
Meaning I was not going to let that fat little kid that I used to be beat me again. And that...
And so you took it out on this kid.
And that kid reminded me of me, so I wanted to help him. All right, and...
Were you laughing when the kids were doing wind sprints?
Sir...
Were you laughing, sir, when the kids were doing wind sprints?
Sir, I enjoy my work, working with youth baseball players.
Well, do you know who Bill Hollander is?
Yeah, he is a liar and a slanderer, and I'm planning a lawsuit against Mr. Hollander.
Well, Mr. Hollander was one of your system coaches who said you were laughing when the kids were doing wind sprints.
Well, he is a lying dog. And Hollander knows that when I get out of this, I'm going to pay him a visit.
Are you threatening him?
I'm threatening him legally.
All right, 1-800-449-8686.
All right, 1-800-443. So you give your phone number out again.
Okay, I'm going to go to a call, sir. Here is Mary. Go ahead, Mary.
Yeah, I just want to say I am the mother of an elite-level gymnast who works out 30 hours a week. They are not allowed to run in weather over 100-degree weather. And I will tell you that I was a single parent for years.
That's not a sport.
That is
what
not
is
a sport.
What do you mean?
30 hours a week?
Gymnastics. You can be 30 hours a week playing piano, too. You can go 30 hours a week mowing your lawn.
I want to tell you something, sir. When you do camps, you have to expect overweight children that are not physically fit. You should design your programs to make sure you don't kill anybody.
Okay. I'm going to say this again, so maybe it'll get through to your listeners, Mr. Hendry. I didn't kill anybody. That woman... And I offered myself, the mother of that boy dropped a fat tub of lard off. And I'll tell you something right now, Mary. Gymnastics is about as much of a sport as playing chess. And
oh, come on. You can't deny the physical demands.
I understand it's physically demanding, but you asked me, is it a sport?
You know, you want, sir, you know, it's irrelevant whether you think gymnastics is a sport or not. What you failed to do was design your program to ensure the safety of your players. You need to take responsibility for your actions, and that's all I need
Let
to say.
Let me ask you something then. Why is it the only one kid died? Hello?
You know, how many kids did you have on the ball field? How many children did you have on the ball field?
You don't have an answer for that so fast, do you?
How many children did you have on the ball field? I'm asking you a question.
We have a team of 25. We have 25 ball players, right. And
right.
I got
so
one kid.
Out of 25. One out of 25. That's a heck of a ratio for that camp, sir.
You take that bet.
Think about that.
You take that bet. You know you take that.
Have you ever had any other children have any sort of physical injury during your camps?
We've had normal injuries during all of our baseball camps. Baseball, being a sport like anything else, is physically demanding.
One more question. When you sign these kids up for camp, do you ask them anything about their physical condition? Do you give them any sort of criteria for the physical condition that they should be in? I'm sorry, what?
I want to ask the host, am I supposed to take this woman's interrogation?
Well, she asked a very good question. I'd like you to answer it.
So you're going to have a woman interrogate me.
Okay.
No, she's a listener of mine.
You have a problem with women, that's obvious.
How you're talking to me shows no respect, just like that fat kid's mother, who showed me no respect, blame me for killing her kid. Okay?
I'm asking you a simple question. Is there some sort of physical criteria that a child must meet to enter your camp?
Is there one for playing chess? No.
Well, there is for gymnastics, sir.
Well, not that I know of. I wanted to mention the youth baseball camp.
And now more.
All right.
On the Phil Hendry Show.
Hold on. We have Vernon Dozier. He's a baseball coach at the Randall Ranch Libretta Park Youth Baseball League. And what was the problem?
The problem, sir, is that you were going to let me mention our youth baseball program. And I've been interrogated for half an hour about some kid who died, who his mother, it's not my fault. You know, I find it very interesting. I said to this kid's mother that he needed a male influence in her life, in his life, and that she said, well, she is divorced, and the father doesn't have a lot to do with him, and I said, that doesn't surprise me. And I said that if any single mother wants her son to play on my youth baseball team, then I would take over the male figure authority in his life. But I think you understand there's some give and take. And I asked her to go to dinner with me. And I did it as a gentleman. And she laughed. And boy, does that remind me of my first wife. So all of these things roll into one.
Now, you offered to...
I offered to be the male role model in this boy's life.
If she'd go to dinner with you?
No, I just asked her to dinner.
And she left?
Yeah.
Did that have something to do with the boy's death?
No, it did not. She killed her son. I said I would take over, and all I wanted was a little bit of a dinner and a little kiss at the end of the evening. And she laughs at me.
A kiss? I mean...
What I'm talking about, sir, is to become an integral part of that boy's life, is to become a male authority, and that means if I'm going to be around his mother, what, am I not supposed to be sexually attracted? And all I wanted was a lousy kiss.
Okay, you're going places that I'm not sure about here. 1-800...
Well, I'm talking about normal adult relationships.
I understand that, but I don't know that this is anything that I am able to address, given the parameters of our topic. 1-800-449-8686. This coach says it wasn't him that killed the boy who died of a heart attack in 104-degree heat. It was his mother by making him soft. Catherine, go ahead.
Hi.
Yes, ma'am.
Actually, I hate to say this because I don't really agree with a lot of things that this man is saying, but I do agree with the fact that I don't think he killed him, the child. Children these days are more and more out of shape, more and more
Absolutely.
Weight problems because of watching TV and playing games and that whole phenomenon
that's
going
right.
on.
That's right. That's
so
right.
I do agree with that, sir.
That's the point I'm trying to make, see.
Okay, I agree with that, sir.
All
I think
right.
the problem that people are going to have with you is the fact that you have no remorse for this child and you're talking about a dead child as a fat slob and so forth. That is where you're going to get into trouble with these people who are responding emotionally to this issue.
Mm.
Obviously, you did not put a gun to the head and pull the trigger on the kid.
Right. No, I did not.
So I do understand that. But
right, thank you.
You really need to kind of look at what you're saying and how it sounds from, you know.
Well, what am I saying? I mean, the kid came to me. He rolls out of the car like 300 pounds of donut oil. No, I'm not kidding.
Okay, this is where you're going to get yourself in some big trouble.
What trouble
I don't
I
know
have
if it can be legally proven.
I've been
proven.
Called a murderer. I've been called a murderer. I've been called a murderer, and she dumped off 300 pounds of donut oil that I was supposed to make into a man, and instead it dropped and died.
Listen to me. I understand where the child may have been obese. Fine. We all understand there are fat children out there.
Uh-huh.
However... the child died, and that was not necessarily directly related to you. Other children have performed out there, and they have not died. However, the problem is your attitude. You cannot refer to a dead child as a 300-pound donut oil. It's dead. I mean, that is ridiculous, and that is where the problem is here. Do you not understand that?
See, you know, you see what's happening. Here's another woman who doesn't want to listen to me and wants to tell me how it is.
No, no. See, you have a problem listening, and you've got a problem with women. You've got some serious mental issues.
Do you have a problem with
women? No, how do I have a problem with women when I asked this boy's mother, I asked this boy's mother if she'd have dinner with me? Okay?
So, this man has some serious mental issues.
Well, I have to ask you something, Mr. Dozier.
So are the two of you going to gang up now and talk softly
well,
to the nut? Is that what you're going to do?
I agree that you did not kill that child. It's not your fault.
It's not your fault. What we're saying is that you call him a fat slob.
I've been called a cold-blooded murderer because this tub of...
Just call him a boy, a little
please.
Boy.
All right, this... See, you know what I don't like about boy is, again, this is what he wants. He wants
young
his mommy. You know...
Okay, we know that you have some issues with your parents and how they raised you and how they treated you. And you have to understand that women are natural nurturers.
Oh, you know, that's the whole thing, you know, and I can't stand it. Now, I will tell you this much. I said, can we go to dinner, and as the evening develops, let's see if one thing leads to another. That's all I said. I didn't say I wanted to get a cheap cop of feel or anything like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, maybe she wasn't interested in you like that. That's okay, too. That's normal human relations. Some people are interested
in you. But I'm going to make a man out of her son. I'm going to make a, you know, I'm going to, but she gets what she pays for. She don't want to go out with me. The kid dies. This is what happens.
All right, so that's the first indication I've heard that you might have purposely killed that boy.
I did not.
Would you say, and she doesn't go out with me, the kid dies?
All right, if she gives him the right supplements, what do I get? His mom teasing me sexually, and he dies on me.
No.
And listen, here's another woman laughing.
Oh, I'm not laughing. I'm totally not laughing at all. I think it's really sad that you are so completely warped.
Let me
that
ask
you. You can't see straight.
Catherine, I want to ask you.
Yes.
Mr. Dozier,
see, the two of you are going to calm the maniac down. You're going to calm the nut down. That's what you're doing. You're talking
to me.
Well,
we would like to try to calm the nut down, yes.
Yeah, because you don't give me, now all of a sudden, how did I get to be the idiot here? Why am I the town drunk all of a sudden?
I'm asking you, the guest, and my caller is asking a question. What if the boy had uncles? What is it up to you to become? I know he doesn't have a father, and it's too bad about absentee fathers, but does he have uncles?
You know, uncles are not male role models. They are, most of the time, alcoholics. They are individuals who are unemployed. A lot of them have drug problems.
Exactly, sir.
You know, those guys roll right off my knife. What I offer is a strong heterosexual model, but I can't be a heterosexual model if the mother in the situation won't allow me to have a little bit of sexual contact.
Oh, I understand heterosexual role. I understand straight males role models because lots of children need what you're saying that you offer. But it doesn't have to have any ties with sexual relations to the mother.
Right.
That's the problem.
Catherine, very good. I want to move on here to another call. 1-800-449-8686. And no, we're not condescending to you, sir.
What is we? I mean, what do you mean we? Are you teaming up on me? You know, this kid is a freaking ball of dough who needed a strong male, and his mother needed a strong male. If you get my drift, and what I was trying to do is combine my needs as a normal, healthy male with the need of this boy to stay alive another day. And what I got for my trouble was her laughing at me.
I have something very troubling that I have to ask you here in a moment, sir. I just want you to answer yes or no.
So is this part of your ambush journalism?
I haven't ambushed you at all, sir.
Well, then I want to know what the question is before I...
I'll ask you the question. Hold on. Donna, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Okay, I just wanted to tell this guy he's a male chauvinist pig. He has no respect for women.
Yes, I do.
No, you have none. You can tell you have no respect for a woman. I raised four kids, and they went through football and won a state championship. And
did they or did the team win?
They had them, huh?
Did they or did the team win a state championship?
Well, I'd say single. There was two of them. They were twins. I would say single-handedly. One was the quarterback, and one was the running back. I think they pretty much. I mean, there was a team effort, but they were pretty much out there in front.
And you had a husband who helped you, though. See?
No, I don't. That's what I'm saying.
Did they have uncles? Did they have uncles?
No.
Did they have? How about the boyfriends you had coming over to them?
Hey, please watch your watch your language, Donna.
She just said the S word. She said the S word, and you're telling me to be respectful?
Because the lady was angry. And
the lady was angry, so she gets to say the S word, but you're yelling at me.
Yes, sir,
I
am.
I said that.
You're saying you got boyfriends over at all hours?
This kid was so.
I have no boyfriends over in any hours. In their life, and they produce.
All right,
just have no respect for.
Let me apologize. Let me apologize to you, Mr. Henry, to Donna. I want to apologize, and I'm sorry. Let me break the ice with a joke and to tell you what I'm up against. The boy that I was dealing with, the boy who died from a heart attack, was so fat that when he stepped on the scale, it said one at a time, please. Do you like that?
No, I don't, sir. We're talking about a dead boy.
It doesn't make any difference how heavy anybody is.
Not the point. Let's forget that. Did you think the joke was funny?
No.
No, we don't. We're talking about
funny, period.
See? And this is why I got a problem with women.
They no, have you have a problem
you.
With women because somebody raised you with.
Oh, God. They're out to castrate you morning, noon, and night.
Well, you've got issues that you need to deal with really bad.
Mr. Dozier, I have to ask you, the report here from the school district is that when you were having the boys doing wind sprints, you were physically aroused. Is that correct?
You know something?
Mr. Dozier, I need an answer, yes or no. The report was that you were physically aroused as those kids were doing wind sprints, yes or no?
Adrenaline sometimes makes a man, you know, show it in his pants, yeah. Hello?
Yes. I totally think.
Can you believe that?
No.
You were. So you're sexually aroused when you're watching kids doing wind sprints?
And they're continuing to let him be a coach.
So I'm not allowed to have normal physical reactions to things.
That's not a normal physical reaction.
Sure.
Getting aroused when you're watching kids doing wind sprints.
I like sports, and I like baseball, and I love baseball, in fact. I love it so much that, yes, I get aroused. Okay, when I get out, let me tell you something, friend. I hit a home run in the College World Series. There's not a lot of guys that can say that, but I hit a home run in the College World Series in 1976. And as I ran around the bases, I have video of me running the bases, and you can see it right there in the pants. And if that's a sin, okay, I'm sorry. What are you laughing at?
I just think you have some real issues, and I think
I got issues. You're laughing because you think it was really small, don't you?
No, I think you have some issues. You need to take care of it before you ever coach any
what issues?
Mother's child again.
What issues do I have, ma'am?
What issues do you have?
Issues. Everything you have is an issue.
What are you trying?
You're running the baseball path. I hit a home run, and you're running around physically aroused. You like it when you see boys doing wind sprints, and you want to sleep with the mother of this fat kid who died.
See, you get to call him a fat kid.
Well, you know what I'm saying.
Can I plug the baseball youth camp? We have it every Saturday, 8 to noon, at the Brenda Park in Randall Ranch. Bring the kids out, ages 8 through 12.
And maybe you'll kill one of them, huh?
You can go right straight to hell.
Well, he hung up on me, so... Thank you very much, man. What happened? That was scary. Oh, wait a minute. What did he say? The kid was so fat he could trick-or-treat at two houses at the same time, huh? Is he still trying to get on my good side with that cornball? One at a time, please? 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Out of bounds. The Phil Henry Show is back. Phil Henry Show.
Comedy Gold.
Hi, David.
Yeah, I don't know what you're doing, but I heard the comment you made last hour about the Canadian Broadcast Standards Council. What happened?
The Canadian Broadcast Standards Council has censored me. They cited me for...
For what? For saying WAP?
Yes, because I used the word WAP, but it was in a satirical reference.
Why do you do that? I tell you not to use words like that. You can't do that. And then I heard you start to sing O Canada. Is that right?
I used the word WAP in a satirical...
I don't care. Oh, here we go again. Excuse me, I forgot. You're an artist. Yeah, I forgot. Well, what satirical reference were you using, Phil? Go ahead, tell me.
It was about a doctor in Italy that was claimed he was cloning humans, which is ethically against the, you know, the...
Against the ethics.
Yes, against the ethics.
Okay, so you use the word WAP, and then you start to make fun of the country of Canada by singing O Canada and then crumble it up and throw it on the floor?
Well, how do you know?
Bud told me.
I saw it.
You dirty little...
Watch it, watch it. I'm glad he said it.
He moved threateningly at me, Mr. Hall.
Don't you touch that kid. Now,
well, what is he doing ratting me out? Get out of here, bud.
No, I want him to stay, because I want you to do something. Now, I've gotten several calls from listeners in Canada, and you started singing their national anthem and then crumbled it up and threw it on the floor. And
No, hold on for a minute. Wait a minute, man. I did not disrespect the Canadian National Anthem. It was the punchline to a joke.
Yeah, the joke being Canada, huh? Making fun of those people? Is that what you're doing?
No, I said I started to sing it after,
See, he can't remember, Mr. Hall, because he don't know.
Yeah, you don't even know, do you?
Bud, when we get to... Oh, man, I'm gonna kill you.
He threatened me again, Mr. Hall.
What did you say to him?
Nothing. Now, look... I started to sing O Canada at the end of the whole, you know, this big, long, melodramatic thing about my family coming from Canada. I didn't mean any disrespect.
All right, if you didn't mean any disrespect, I want you to sing it.
Sing what?
I want you to sing O Canada.
David, I said...
I said to sing O Canada.
Why?
Because you crumbled it up and threw it on the floor, then you threatened the retard there, and you also said something about how Canadians are wops. Now sing it!
I didn't say Canadians were wops. I said an Italian doctor in Italy was a wop.
An Italian doctor in Italy, as opposed to what, a French doctor? You know something, Phil? You're trying my patience. Sing the song.
You're not singing it yet, Mr. Hall.
Yeah, I know, bud.
Well, it's obvious I ain't singing it yet, bud.
Sing it.
David, we can talk.
I said to sing it. And I want all of our fine friends in Canada to listen as Phil Henry sings Oh Canada. And by the way, Phil.
Yes.
Don't you dare do shtick. Do it good.
David.
I said to do it good.
Go ahead.
Shut up.
Don't tell the tart to shut up.
Oh, Canada, our home.
Do it better.
David.
Do it better. You're starting to do a little shtick. Do it better and do it with respect.
Oh, Canada.
Better.
David.
Better.
He can sing better because I know he sang in a boys' choir one time.
Yeah, the tart tells me you sang in a boys' choir.
Oh, he's a tart now, but I can't say it.
You got it. Now sing it good.
Oh, Canada, our home and native land.
You're flatting.
True patriot love, in all thy sons command, with glowing hearts we see. David,
I said to do it!
We see thee rise, the true North, strong and free. From far and wide, O Canada, we stand on guard for thee.
Now here's the big finish. Do it good.
God keep our land glorious and free. Don't look at me, bud. Oh, Canada.
That sucks. Do it again.
God keep our land glorious and free. Oh, Canada, we stand on guard for thee.
Big finish.
Oh, Canada, we stand on guard for thee.
Fag,
get out of here.
This is the Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Are wives exposing their husbands in situations that could put them in a lot of trouble? Is it possible for a minor child to be accused of harassment of an adult? These are some very fine legal points that we're going to be talking about this hour with a man who has filed triple lawsuits. And his name is Stephen Bozell. He is a construction contractor from Corona, California. And I know you're in Santa Barbara right now, Mr. Bozell.
Yes, sir. I'm here at a very beautiful place, Mr. Henry, a place called Yalama State Beach. And I'm enjoying just some tranquility. It's first tranquility, I guess, I've had quite some time.
This stemmed from buying your daughter some school clothes that included a training bra. Is that right?
That is correct. I bought my daughter April 2 training bras. Because her mother, my wife, was in Tennessee with her sick mother, and so the children were with me. And she asked me to take my daughter shopping for back-to-school clothes, that she needed a training bra. I told her, asked my wife, could you do this with her, because this isn't anything I think a father is too adept at. And she said, but she would be with her mother in Tennessee, in Knoxville, Tennessee, so there is no way.
So you were doing your wife, well, not doing your wife a favor, but you were...
Well, I see myself as doing my wife a favor. That's what I told your producer, because I don't think that's a situation where you go with your daughter to buy her her first training bra. It's a little uncomfortable. And
I can understand that.
So I had the sales lady at Mervyn's help us out.
With picking it out and everything?
Yeah, she worked with my daughter, and it's because it's an uncomfortable thing. So I told my daughter, the sales lady, would help her.
So that worked out, right?
Yes, sir, it did. But the problem came into play when we returned home. Our driveway borders the property of Roy and Lacey Hutchins. We have an acquaintance with them. Mr. Hutchins has shown himself, however, in the past, to be a little sarcastic and has made some remarks that I found unacceptable. And
so you've had problems with this neighbor in the past?
Yeah.
Okay.
And as we removed the packages from the back of the car, Mr. Hutchins was out washing his car, and he noticed that one of the bags ripped. He saw my daughter's training bra, and he made the comment to me which I wrote down because my attorney told me to write down everything I remember. And he said, have you got the panties to go with those, Steve, or are you just going to wear your boxers? And that was a direct comment to say, you must be wearing a training bra. It was an uncalled for comment.
Well, it's probably very uncalled for in front of your daughter.
I would say that as well, but my daughter was part of the problem. She picked up the training bra and held it up to my chest and laughed. So I feel that Mr. Hutchins encouraged my daughter to make fun of me, too. And Mr. Hutchins made fun of me, and then he laughed again, and the last thing I heard, and I told my attorney this, the last thing I heard was their laughter as I fled into the house. So my wife put me in a position that no married man, no father should be put in, of going to buy his daughter a training bra, which is a feminine article of clothing, and then when I come home with it, to have my neighbor see it and accuse me of wearing one. And then my daughter joins in on the laughter, and they laugh me straight off the driveway.
And so you ran into the house?
Yes, I did. I felt humiliated, and I told my attorney that I feel that not only did my wife put me in that position, but the store put me in that position because of the faulty bag that they sold me. I also don't think they should have sold a training brassiere to me because I think that selling that to a father is unacceptable and only mothers should help the daughters with that. I felt Mr. Hutchins exploited the moment with laughter and he embarrassed me in front of my child, and my daughter April Jr. exploited the moment by embarrassing me in front of Roy Hutchins and make me look like a fool.
Now, I talked with Ms. Blasingame. She is not able to come on, but she feels a very pivotal point of law is at stake here, and she thinks this could go all the way to the California Supreme Court.
I think it could too, Phil, because what we're talking about, first of all, the big point of question is, can a parent sue their own child if the child shows malice aforethought? That's number one.
All right.
Number two, and this is the groundbreaking point that I think we're all sort of looking at, can a child sexually harass their own parent?
Do you think your daughter picking up the training bra and putting it up and laughing at you was sexually harassing you?
I've talked that over with my attorney, and she seems to think so. Now, there are two areas of common law, and I'm not a lawyer, but I believe Ms. Blasingame can talk about it. Number three, did Roy Hutchins, who is my neighbor, psychologically molest my daughter by making a comment about her training bra? And did he confuse my daughter about my sexuality by making it sound like I wear bras? Which I don't, but now I have to go into court to prove it. And this is an area that's very interesting. If I was a lawyer, I'd be very interested in it. And I think a lot of people would be.
All right. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. A very complex case. Mr. Stephen Bozell bought a training bra for his daughter, which was seen by a neighbor, and the neighbor made a tasteless joke about you with that training bra, and then your daughter laughed at you, and you feel your wife put you in that position. You should never have been in the position to buy your daughter a training bra, so everybody sort of is kind of ganged up on you.
I think so, but again, we have to understand that this is more than just me caring about what happened to me. I think we are in a position to rewrite civil law that a child can sexually harass their own parents if they make fun of them the way my daughter did me.
What? I mean, sexual harassment is when someone's coming on to you sexually. All your daughter did was hold up a bra to make daddy look stupid.
Well, this is the area that we have to look at. I mean, it's not quite so black and white. So my attorney's looking at that. In the very least, I am told that my daughter could be very guilty of, could be civilly liable for emotional distress. But we're looking at that.
Well, if you sue your own daughter for emotional distress, what are you hoping to gain?
Well,
I mean, what are you going to get out of your daughter by suing her?
Well, first of all, I would sue her for emotional distress.
But what would be the damages? Are you going to ask for monetary damages?
Absolutely.
Okay, well, what are you going to be asking of your daughter?
Well, obviously she's a little girl and she can't pay no millions of dollars or anything, so I would garnish my own wages. And I know it sounds silly, but
I mean, you're attaching your own wages to pay you?
But it has to, you have to do that. And then it goes into a general fund.
And in that general fund, I would not use any of that money for my daughter's upbringing. So my daughter would essentially be diminishing the amount of money that I would spend on her upbringing.
So if you won a lawsuit against your own daughter, you wouldn't have to pay as much for her support as you do now?
That is correct, yes, sir.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Stephen Bozell with an interesting case. His wife went out of town, asked him to do some back-to-school shopping, which is what's going on now. And his little daughter, April Jr., is I guess, of the age where she needs a training bra. Apparently, he bought it for her and was laughed at by the next-door neighbor. His daughter laughed at him because it fell out of the bag. And Mr. Bozell is suing both Mr. Hutchins. He is suing his own wife for putting him in that position, but he's also exploring the possibility that he is suing his own daughter for emotional distress and possibly sexual harassment. I'm told by the attorney for Mr. Bozell that this is some very, very interesting and exciting law. This could be groundbreaking, could go all the way to the California Supreme Court or further. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
1-800-449-8686, the world famous Phil Hendry Show. The Bill Hendry Show is back.
You say, Mr. Bozell, that buying your daughter, this is your own daughter, a training bra. How old is your daughter, 12?
She's 12 years old, yes, sir.
You say buying her a training bra is a purposeful effort on the part of your wife to make you look like a sex pervert. Why would your wife do that to you?
Because she was angry at me before she left. She was going to take care of her mother. She was angry at me. We had had an argument about money. So she says, well, you can take April Jr. out for her back-to-school shopping, and that includes getting a training bra. So right away, I look like a pervert going in and buying my own daughter.
Well, you're not a pervert, are you?
No, sir, I am certainly not. I love my daughter very much, but I'm not a pervert.
Well, then you don't have anything to worry about.
It doesn't matter, because most women in America today want to believe that men are perverts because they're looking to sue them to make money. And I know that Hutchins got talked into this by his wife. That's why I'm filing a lawsuit to preempt it.
Most women in America today want to believe men are perverts so they can sue. I mean, I don't know how to deal with...
Mr. Henry, believe me. The American female today, all they want to do is have men be perverts and molest children so they can turn around and sue them, get half their community property, and be one of these single mothers. So that's why I'm suing. I'm trying to preempt my wife suing me.
Your wife asked you to buy the training bra.
That's right, to put me in a position to look like a perv.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Is it inappropriate for a father to buy his daughter a training bra, especially when he's doing it at the behest of the mother? Here is James. Go ahead, James. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
No, it's not inappropriate. I have four children. Three of them are girls and one's a little boy. And I buy all their clothes. It's not inappropriate. He needs to be a man.
Wait a minute.
Stand up.
What are you doing buying a training bra?
He's letting his neighbor get to him, and he's crying like a little baby.
Why are you buying a training bra?
I buy all their clothes because I'm their parent. That's what parents do.
What's your wife?
Don't you understand that?
Where's your wife?
You're the parent. You do those responsible things.
Where's your wife?
You buy their clothes. You make sure they fit. It doesn't make you a pervert.
How come your wife ain't buying the training brassiere?
Why?
Yeah, because you get your jollies buying it.
Wait a minute. Now you're buying into
No, sir. You're sadly mistaken.
Because you're getting
your
jollies.
Your children need the clothes. You buy their underwear. You buy their shirts, their pants, their shoes, their socks. You buy all.
All right, now, hold on for a minute, gentlemen. I want to jump in. You're accusing this man, Mr. Bozell, of the very thing you say that you don't want to be accused of, which is being a pervert because you're buying your daughter's training bra.
I'm just wondering why this guy's doing it. I don't enjoy it. I do it because my wife...
I do it because I'm a parent, you idiot.
I do it because
my wife
told me...
You don't understand that. Parents have to do certain things.
I do.
You are not a parent. You're a crybaby. You're really a child. So you need to grow up and do the responsible thing. The responsible thing is to buy your daughter her clothes. Now, if you can't control your daughter... And she makes a little joke about and holds a bra to you. Grow up. Be a man here. Well, why you got to make sure you got a pair there, son.
My daughter made it sound like I was a pervert.
No, she didn't.
Are you a pervert? Did she say you were a pervert? No, she held the bra up and laughed at you. And you cried and ran into the house. You sound like my three-year-old son.
If I don't put a stop to this now, before you know it, she'll turn 18 and she'll be by. She'll be having me by her G-strings and everything.
Man, you stop it by disciplining her. You send her to your room. You tell her you don't disrespect me in public like that. You don't run into the house and cry and call a dang lawyer. It's people like you that are screwing up this world by suing everybody and their brother instead of taking care of their own problems.
I have the right to protect myself legally.
Hold on for a minute. This man's making a lot of sense.
No, you don't.
Yes, I do.
It's not a legal problem. Then he has the right to say whatever he wants because this is American free speech, right?
He doesn't have the right to make me sound like a pervert who likes to wear training bras.
Sounds to me like you got thin skin. You got thin skin.
Okay.
You need to grow up and
it's
be a man.
It's easy for you to say until you drop a training bra on the cement and somebody says, hey, you got some panties to go.
I had a 16-year-old buy daggone G-string panties in front of me. My own daughter. That didn't bother me.
Can I give you some advice?
All I did was hand her my credit card to pay for the damn thing.
Can I give you some advice? You better not do that because people will think you're a perv and a child molester, and before you know it, you're going to have yourself a whole heap and
armful
of trouble.
I won't go running and crying into the house or hiding behind.
Well, what are you going to do? You're going to stand there and
go,
yeah.
I take care of my problems in public.
You,
I don't cry like a little child like you are about all this. You're crying because your daughter hurt your feelings in front of another man. That's the only reason you're doing this.
I bet you know what color your daughter's G-string was.
One was white and one was black.
Yeah,
so
sure does stick in your memory, don't it?
Okay, guys, you're going down a road that I don't really want to go down here. You're calling each other perverts and stuff.
This guy called me a pervert.
No, he didn't.
Call you a pervert.
He said you were
an idiot and a moron.
He said you were thin-skinned. That your daughter was laughing and that Mr. Hutchins was laughing is no reason for you to file a lawsuit against your daughter.
There is precedent in California law that I can sue my own daughter.
Do you need a drink of water, Mr. Bozell?
This guy called me a crybaby.
Oh, you are. That's what you're doing.
I'm fine.
All right, listen, James, thank you for your call. 1-800-449-8686. Is your position you don't want to buy training bras, panties, nothing for your daughter because you say that American women are just waiting for the chance to sue men and that...
To sue men and call them child molesters and take all their money and take all their freedom. I swear to God, that's what American women are doing. The minute they see you look cross-eyed, the minute they see you just scratch your ball sack in public...
Okay, watch your public comments, sir.
I'm sorry.
Watch your comments.
I apologize, sir. What I'm saying is the minute they see you in public, even look, you know, too long at some little kid, they're going to say you're a pervert. That's what women want to do.
All right.
See, you're laughing at me.
I'm not laughing at you. I'm simply saying that this has grown far beyond anything I recognize. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Malaya, hello?
Hey, I'm going to be very direct because my phone's about to die,
yes,
so I'm
ma'am.
Just going to steal the floor and just hope that you'll let me have it without interrupting me. But there's other issues going on, okay? My father took me when I was younger to get my bras because my mother didn't have the money. My parents were divorced. You don't have to go in there to get the bras with her. Just go to the store, go to an assistant in the brassiere department and have them help you. You have
right.
other issues going on, and if you're looking into suing over something like this, you need to get some help because this is not the real issue,
You women want to turn every man into a pervert so you can sue.
Sweetheart,
yes,
I'm a criminal justice. I am a criminal justice major, and my boyfriend polygraph examines sex offenders, okay? Polygraphs continuously sex offenders, adult and adolescent. So I know what I'm saying, and you're pushing the line.
Yeah, what about the women that accuse them of being perverts and they ain't? Do you polygraph them? No, you
let
don't.
Let it go.
No,
let
you
it
don't.
Go. You, see, that's my
you
point. You have
don't.
Issues.
You,
obviously,
you, you, you want to believe. You want to believe every man's a pervert because that makes your criminal justice.
No.
You make millions
of
dollars.
Well, and else, I mean, it's not that it's the world's business, but you don't have my last name. I was sexually offended by my three older brothers. Does that make me say that you're a pervert? No.
Yeah. Yes, it does.
Grow
it makes you think.
Man,
it makes you think every man's a pervert. It makes you think every man's a pervert. And you're out to get every man, and you won't be happy till every man's in jail.
You didn't even hear what I had to say.
And that's why I'm not even. I'm not going to take any advice from somebody who wants to criminally prosecute me because I love my daughter. Your dad bought you panties.
I didn't say that she's going to.
Let me ask you a question.
How do you know that's the issue? If that's why she wants to criminally prosecute you.
Did you put your dad in jail, too, for buying your brassieres Or was that just a little too soon for you?
But Mr. Bozell,
you have other issues that are going on. This is not just about the bra.
You are full of a lot of vitriol. And
my wife went off to stay with her mother in Knoxville, Tennessee, because her mother's got breast cancer, and she leaves me behind to buy brassieres.
Are you angry at your mother? Or, I mean, your wife?
Yeah, I'm angry at my wife. Well, who wouldn't be?
All right. 1-800-449-8686. Mr. Stephen Bozell is with us. He doesn't want to buy his daughter's training bras. He doesn't want to have anything to do with any of that because he thinks that the women of the world are just lurking around every corner ready to accuse men of being perverts, sex offenders, child molesters, and so on and so forth. I think his wife put him in that position. His next-door neighbor laughed at him for buying the training bra. His own daughter laughed at him. He's considering suing all of them, including his daughter, and he says there is precedent. Apparently, you can sue your own children. And what happens is, if you win, then you can diminish the amount of money you spend for their support. So let's say, for instance, I don't know, you are spending so much for food every month. The court will allow you to slash that by however much percent if you sue your own kids. And he wants to sue his daughter for sexual harassment before she sues him. 1-800-4... I know. Believe me, folks. Pelton's the one that books these guests. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Won't float without pontoons. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Mr. Stephen Bozell is on with us. He believes that buying men buying their daughters training bras or panties or anything like that just opens them up for accusations of sexual harassment. You believe that there's a whole bunch of, which as you say, ball-breaking women out there?
That's right. That's right.
All right. Well, I mean, you bought your daughter a training bra. She, your neighbor laughed at it when he saw it, and your daughter laughed too, and you say that your wife put you in that position.
My wife went to Knoxville, Tennessee to take care of her mother, because her mother's got breast cancer, so I guess I'm supposed to feel sorry for her, even though her mother is the biggest ball breaker of all, and has been breaking my balls and breaking my castanets for the 16 years that we've been married, and she's never shut up. Now my wife's back there, and I'm sure they're having a big laugh over the fact that I got to buy training bras and the birthday party that April Jr. had over at her friend's house.
All right, now that was a birthday party for a bunch of 12-year-old girls that you were the only man at?
There were a bunch of mothers who were talking about Sex in the City and other things, and I had to go and cook the hamburgers and hot dogs, and there was no beer, and it was so boring, and meanwhile I got to watch my P's and Q's, otherwise I'm a pervert.
Well, no, nobody's going to call you a pervert because you're cooking hot dogs for 12-year-old girls.
Excuse me, sir, but I think you're wrong. And that's exactly right. And they'll put you in that position.
Wait. Are you telling me that a bunch of mothers asked you to come over and cook hot dogs for a bunch of girls and you say that somebody could accuse you of being a pervert?
Why are they asking me to come over and cook hot dogs? I'm the only man. And they're saying, yeah, you cook the hot dogs and all of this stuff. And I went and I got the bun-length hot dogs, which right away, their eyes widened.
Are you trying to tell me that cooking hot dogs at a 12-year-old girl birthday party is a way for the mothers to set you up to be accused of being a molester?
I think everywhere a woman can set a man up to be a molester, they will.
Mister, that's a pretty sad view of women.
Well, you know what? If the shoe fits, pal.
All right, let's go over here to Sheila. Sheila, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Yes, how are you doing this evening?
Fine, ma'am. Thank you.
The more you talk, the more ignorant you sound. Now, how is it that you buying your daughter a bra make you a pervert?
Oh, really?
Now, listen, sir. Let me say one thing.
Why don't you ask one of these female lawyers who love to sue guys
guys for being pervert. And one of these ladies at the party said, hey, Steve, and I wrote it down because my attorney asked me to, do you have anything bigger than those hot dogs?
Okay, sir, listen, let me say something to you. You are to be an example. A parent is to be an example to their children. How can you set an example by suing your daughter, and then you have the audacity to say that you love your daughter and you want to take from her? How can you say? You are very thin-skinned, sir, and you have issues. I would hope that you would check yourself into a hospital because you are mentally ill, because everything that comes out of your mouth makes you sound more and more and more stupid.
This is what I'm saying. You want me to be mentally ill, so they'll check me into a sexual pervert hospital, and y'all be off the street. And this is exactly what I'm saying.
No, sir,
I don't know you, okay? So why would I want you into a hospital? I want you to get help, because the more you talk, the more ignorant you sound.
Can I ask you a question?
That every woman wants the man to be a pervert. No, they don't.
They want him to go into jail so the women can take over everything. That's what they're doing.
You have issues, and how dare you disgrace your mother-in-law in saying that you're glad that she has breast cancer.
She's doing nothing but breaking my castanets for 15 years.
Let me tell you something. By her dealing with her cancer, she has no thought of you. She is dealing with her disease
with. You're wrong. She's sitting back there with cancer thinking, boy, this will bust his you-know-whats.
That's what she's doing. She's got breast cancer. She's battling for her life, and she's thinking about breaking your castanets on that one.
That's right.
You know what, sir? I really hope that you get I really hope that you get some serious mental help, because you are ignorant and you need help.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
I'm at the birthday party for the girls, and the women said, I'm grilling up hot dogs, and the women come over and they say to me, you got anything bigger than those? Because they're waiting for me to be a pervert and waiting for me to be a pervert.
And so what was your answer to them?
I said, no, ma'am. These are the only spare bun length. That's what I was asked to get. And they all started laughing.
That was it. I hope that your wife would get the kids away from you, because you have issues.
See, there you go. Even though I don't want to be a pervert, you want to make me one.
No. It has nothing to do with your pervertness. I'm not saying that you were a pervert. What I'm saying is that you have mental issues that you need to deal with. And until you deal with them, you do not need to deal with your daughter or anyone else.
Okay, but my mother-in-law blames me for the cancer. She says that I've been a horrible husband for her daughter, and I caused her distress so bad she got sick, and I'm thinking about suing her for making those comments.
You know what? Do you work?
Yeah, I got my own construction contracting business.
Are you presently working right now? Because
right now? No, I'm on the phone talking to you.
I'm talking about each
day. She's calling me stupid. She's asking me if I'm working right now. Does it sound like I'm working right now?
You want to sue everybody. You're trying to get money. And all it's going to do, your lawyer would take the case. They'll take any case because they'll take the money from you.
Dolores Blasingame believes that we have a case that could go all the way to the Supreme Court.
She'll say that. I bet you she says that she represented Larry Flint, too. She'll tell you anything as long as she can get her hands on your wallet.
You got that right. Well, thank you. I turned this on, because this is one of the most stupidest things I ever heard. I really pray, sir, that you get some help.
Can I ask you a question, then? How come those women asked me if I had any sausages instead of hot dogs? You know sausages are larger, and that's a sexual connotation. And, Mr. Henry, this time I'm going to say that I feel badgered by this caller, and I would like her name and address.
You're not going to give my call.
Are you going to sue me now?
Yes, ma'am. Because of the way you badgered me, yes, ma'am.
Don't give him anything, Sheila.
I won't give him anything. It's just the point that you're going to sue. Now you're going to sue me. What have I said to you you're going to sue me for?
I'll sue you. Yes, I will sue you. I'll sue you for making fun of me and also for emotional distress.
What for what, man? Are you crazy?
Sir, you had emotional distress before you called here. And number one, thinking about the emotional distress that you're going to bring upon your daughter. That's what you need to think about.
Bring upon my daughter? She laughed at me and put the training bra on me. I didn't do anything wrong.
Oh, boy.
Oh, my G. I don't believe this. You all have a blessed evening.
Get a load of this cat.
I'm going to pray for you. You know what? I really believe this is a crank call. I don't believe him.
Are you for real?
Mr. Henry, my daughter
needed a traded bra, and my wife sent me out to get that. That's just something that could get any man accused of being a perv.
Well, you know what, sir? You have issues.
Will you pray
like
for me?
If you're crying because of the things I said to you, you need to think about it. But I really believe this is a crime. I don't believe him.
Will you pray for me?
Yes, I will.
When she called my wife to tell her about how she made me cry, my wife had the gall to say I would never fit into a training bra because I have man boobs.
Anyway,
sir, you have a good night,
yeah,
okay?
You thank you very much.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Is she gone?
Get out of here. Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. We eat kittens.
And now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
The voices of Steve Bozell and Vernon Dozier were performed by me. The people who called in were unprompted and unpaid. And that's what makes our show, among other things, so much different from other shows who prompt and pay their callers. Get in a little plug here for our souvenir shop, which is located on our website, www.philhendryshow.com. We got some great stuff there. Ted's of Beverly Hills bowling shirts, aprons, Ted's of Beverly Hills shot glasses, Western Estates Homeowners Association tote bags and spa robes and polo shirts and baseball caps. We got Phil Hendry Show baseball caps. We're giving one away, in fact, in our R.C. Collins contest. More details, go to our website. And maybe I ought to write a book, too. I'm getting ready to write a book. You'll be seeing a book out very soon. Every chump change guy doing a radio show or a TV show has written a book. Well, I got news for you. When I write a book, I'll write a book. It'll be a book. It'll have a beginning, a middle, and an end. It'll be in English, and it'll, you know, like that. Be really great. By the way, it'll be a coloring book. Hey, that's not a bad idea, the Phil Hendry Show coloring book. And everybody will say, oh, I get it. It's an anti-book, but, you know, it's not going to sell. 1-800-449-8686. Now we're going to take a little bit of a look at the news, some of the things that we haven't been talking about. First of all, the California recall. You know, this is an absolute joke. The California recall now has over 200 candidates. Gary Coleman, and by the way, Gary Coleman is not running because he wanted to run. Somebody threw his name into the hat. You see, politics, people think that they're really making a statement when they make fun of politics. They're not making any statement. They're doing what's been done for hundreds of years. Politicians are the butt end of jokes from here to there. But you know something? I'll say one thing for politicians. They've got the patriotism and the love of their country enough to actually get in and try to do something. It's real easy for people to sit on their asses on the sidelines and say, that guy's crooked, and that guy's crooked, and that guy's crooked. It's real easy for a guy to have a TV talk show or a radio talk show and talk about all the crooked people out there in Washington. But the rest of us, do we do anything? No. We go home. We drive our fancy car home to our fancy house. We kiss our fancy wife. We sit on our big fat ass. We have dinner. We watch TV. And we just sort of move like dead people through our lives. Not actively doing anything to change anything. Because believe me, folks, I don't go home at night thinking, because I do a talk show, I'm changing anything. I ain't changing a thing. This is not where you change the world, doing a dopey talk show. Sell some more of my CDs, give the money to my friend's place. We'll change the world a little bit that way. But you got people who really care about good government, and they're mocked, they're laughed at. They're called crooked. The Republicans have got all the answers. The conservatives have all the answers. And Fox Television, the Fox News Channel, has shown its colors now. The Fox News Channel, which has sort of reveled in some idea that they're fair and balanced. I don't know where they ever got that idea, and I don't know who believes it. Maybe a lot of people, for all I know. They're suing Al Franken because he's written a book with a very funny title. I can't read the book. I can't wait to read the book. It's called Lies and the Lying Liars Who Tell Them, A Fair and Balanced Look at the Right by Al Franken. And Fox has sued him for using the fair and balanced slogan because they think they own that, and they don't know what satire is. They believe that they own that phrase to the point where Mr. Franken may be capitalizing on that fair and balanced tag, and people will think that it's really a book that Fox endorses. It's a satire, you idiots. You know, you guys are starting to come unglued a little bit over there. You lost your sense of humor. You don't know how to let people make fun of you. You make fun of everybody else. What's the matter, man? Is the sheen finally coming off this whole conservative movement in America? Is the bloom off the rose? Are you guys seen for what you really are? Just another bunch of stumble bums without all the answers, who sometimes may have a good idea and sometimes your ideas backfire. Are you afraid that the truth is finally being told? Well, guess what? You know, life goes on, my brother, and the world will turn, and people are going to know whether you like it or not. Al Franken was quoted today as saying, and by the way, a few months ago, I trademarked the word funny, so when Fox calls me unfunny, they're violating my trademark. I am seriously considering a countersuit. As if Fox knows what's funny. That's very funny, by the way, Al, but don't sue me. As if Fox knows what's funny. And the attack on Franken is vicious. They call him unstable. It's just absolutely vicious. They're coming apart. They have lost their cool demeanor over there at Fox. And nobody is joked into believing the UCATs or anything other than a bunch of right-wingers. So don't even give me with that fair and balanced baloney. You guys are the right-wing answer to CNN. Everybody knows it. They called Franken a parasite. Why? Because he's making fun of you? And by the way, I'm going to tell you this again. That O'Reilly, man, he had another thing on porn today. I think he is a pervert waiting to explode. Every day it's porn with that guy. I'll bet you he's got a basement full of magazines. Some of them with girls on the covers and some of them with boys. Every day with this guy, it's porn. What's the problem with you, man? I mean, you talk about a really controversial stand that this guy's taking. Yes, porn, it's bad. Really? You know, kids should not be... Oh, I didn't know that. I let my kids read all the pornographic magazines that they like. Thanks so much for telling me what I already know. Meanwhile, in Iraq, the soldiers there, our men and our women, continue to subdue a region of the world that has manufactured and exported terrorism for years. Years. Manufactured and exported terrorism to the point where on September the 11th of 2001, I'll never forget what happened that day. 3,000 Americans died. Some of them on an airplane that they were attempting to retake that was on its way to the White House. Plane had to be crashed into the ground by the terrorists. They were so afraid that the passengers were going to take the plane back and they wouldn't be able to do their thing. And over here in America, we're settling back into business as usual. People hanging on to September the 10th engage in very luxurious commentary and argument over pound cake and coffee as to whether there's weapons of mass destruction and whether or not we should really be in Iraq. And even though Saddam Hussein's a bad guy, I mean, after all, there are some rules that have to be observed, as if those people wouldn't break every rule in the book if it served their purpose. Every rule in the book if it served their purpose. As if I'm supposed to wait for the UN's approval for me to defend my country. I really question, seriously, the people, some people, and their willingness to stand up when the time is right. I ain't calling you a traitor. I'm just saying whether you got any guts or not. Those guys and those women over there, they're still fighting. We lost another GI. And because soldiers die doesn't mean you're losing a war. Soldiers die, that's what happens to them. We're all going to die. Why don't you realize one thing, that maybe those guys that are dying over there, maybe if they saw the end of their life, maybe they would see themselves dying in just that manner. Maybe that's how they want to go out, as opposed to that Marine. You hear about this guy, this U.S. Marine, who is suing because he's now a conscientious objector? Are you kidding me or what, pal? What are you doing in that uniform? That's called you just lost your balls at the right moment. That's what that's called. That's called, I got a great idea, I'll be a conscientious objector, because you know what? Maybe this war stuff don't sound too good. That's called real dumb. Would you think you're getting into the Army or getting into the Marines and they're going to pay for your education and turn you into a lawyer or a doctor or an Indian or a candlestick maker and you won't have to go to war? Well, guess what? Sometimes you do. What, are you trying to get an education on the government dime? and now you want to steal the money back? They ought to ship that guy over to Iraq, stick a gun in his hand, and tell him, see that building? Go running into it now. Run, run, run!
But sir, I don't...
Run! Email address, phs@philhenryshow.com. This is the Phil Henry Show. This is the only honest man on the air anywhere. This is the only honest radio show you got. Hang on to it. Hang on to it with your life. Because you're getting bullcrapped up one side and down the next. And we are also the funniest radio show in the history of radio, so we've got a lot going for us. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686.